Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram from Friday, June 9th, 2023, Section A, State and Local News. 12 Girls Night Out Hotspots by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Whether you've got a budget or not, here's 12 places for your girl gang to have a night to themselves. Fair to Midland, 115, Tradewinds Boulevard. For a laid-back outdoor evening, Fair to Midland includes a slide, table games like giant Jenga, and of course, fair games. As for sips, the venue carries mainly beer and canned seltzer options. However, they do offer a red and white Jolly Filet and five cocktails: My Coat Mai Tai, Texas Punch Peach, Frozen Ruby Mule, Cool as a Cucumber, and the Big Top. Draft beers include Austin East Cider, Modelo, Blue Moon, Love Street, Shinerbach, four local brews, two from Eccentric Brewing Company and two from Tall City Brewing Company, and nine others. Bottles and cans include Miller Lite, Bud Light, Corona, Twisted Tea, Truly, White Claw, and more. They're open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday through Sunday. La Bodega, 2700 North Big Spring Street. With all the new cocktail spots in town, staples like La Bodega fall forgotten. So here's your reminder that some of the biggest drinks in town can be found inside the pearly white building. For margaritas, enjoy a house, gold, strawberry, blue, silver Patron, or a frozen swirl with sangria. Wines include Chardonnay, Cab, Merlot, and more. Between imported and domestic beers, 20 choices stand, such as Coors Light, Dos Equis, Bud Light, Lime, and Tecate. 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Texas Sun Winery, 3415 North Loop 250 West, Suite 305. Want a wine night? Texas Sun Winery offers 15 reds, 9 whites, 3 rosés, 9 sangrias, 2 sparkling, 2 dessert wines, and a flight of 5 wines. Options include Desert Sun, Cactus Ranch, Summer in Texas, and The Good Life for reds, Denim and Diamonds, Wine Time, and Yellow Rose for whites, Bella Rose, Pink Sunglasses, and Tickle Me Pink for the rosés, Honky Tonk Crazy, Lunar Eclipse, Hey Y'all, Fixin' To, and Baby Blue for sangrias, Almond and Brut for sparkling, and Ramataz and Sabroso for dessert wines. 1 to 9 p.m. Tuesday and Wednesday, 1 to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday. Triple Threat, 12 Meta Drive, somewhat of a hidden gem. Triple Threat offers a stacked cocktail and Chilton menu. For Chiltons, pick a Tito's, lime, pickle, spicy tamarind, sour orange, effin' cucumber, or an original classic. For cocktails, an Espolòn Margarita, Espolòn Vampiro, Espolòn Paloma, Espolòn Spicy Margarita, Jim's Manhattan, Red Stag Half and Half, Kentucky Mule, and a Three Teas Old Fashioned. 11 a.m. to midnight, Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m., Friday and Saturday. All of the previous drinks are $12 or less. These could be $12 or less, or could be $12 and up. The Blue Door, 4610 North Garfield Street, D Suite 1C. One of my favorite spots in Midland, the Blue Door truly offers something for everyone. From the Blue Door Originals cocktail list, I recommend the Strawberry Lemon Drop, Tito's House Made Lemon Sour, Contro, Strawberry, and a Sugar Rim. From the timeless cocktail menu, a porn star martini takes my vote, made with Tito's, vanilla, passion fruit, and Prosecco. The bar also offers three mocktails, 22 Texas beers, 15 craft beers, 5 sours, 4 non-alcoholic beers, 6 red wines, 2 whites and rosés, and 3 sparkling. The best part? Their cocktail printing machine, 4 p.m. to midnight, Monday through Saturday. Buffalo Nickel, 216 North Main Street. A full bar and an array of daily, weekly, and monthly specials makes Buffalo Nickel the perfect mix between an upscale feel and more affordable prices. The world is your oyster here, and the skilled bartenders can make anything you ask for. They also carry quite a few beer and wine choices, as well as non-alcoholic spirits and bars. 3 p.m. to midnight, Monday through Thursday, noon to midnight, Friday and Saturday. Hoop and Barrel, 3211 West Wadley Avenue, Suite 21. Eccentric, colorful, and flooded with good energy, Hoop and Barrel offers a large menu of original cocktails. With an ever-changing menu based on seasons and owner preference, the bar and tapas spot currently offers a perfectly vanilla gin fizz, Midnight Kiss, similar to an espresso martini, Blushing Tom, vodka and fruit flavors, Ain't Talkin' About Love, fruity fizz, Sweet Dreams, and many more. Guests will also find a full menu of craft, domestic, and draft beers, red, white, and champagne wines. 4 to 10 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 10 p.m. Saturday. Italian Village, 3211 West Wadley Avenue, Suite 1. I've never gone into Italian Village without seeing at least one GNO in progress. Although quieter, I love starting or finishing an outing with friends here. With more wines than I can count, each imported item offers a taste and combination of ingredients completely different from the one before it. Guests can expect classics such as Pinot Grigios, Chiantis, Proseccos, Cabs, Merlots, Bruts, Chardonnays, and many more. The restaurant also offers bottled beer and a full bar for those craving a non-wine libation. 3 to 9:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday. $12 and up. The Basement, 223 West Wall Street, Suite 150. Underneath Opal's table sits The Basement, the restaurant's bar-focused area equipped with comfortable, intimate seating and party-like vibes. There, guests can order from the original 9 cocktail list. I recommend the Lychee Martini, Chihuahuan Desert Gin, Tito's Vodka, Lychee, and Lime. Request their own drink or choose one of the 118 wine options, including bubbles, chardonnays, rosés, sauvignon blancs, other whites, cabs, red blends, other reds, pinot noirs, and limited availability wines. Be aware, some of those wines are only offered by the bottle. 11 to 10:30 p.m. Tuesday and Thursday, 4:30 to 9:30 p.m. Wednesday and Friday, 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. Saturday. Little Bohemian, 201 West Wall Street, Suite 102. Although they just opened in May, the crew at Little Bohemian has swept the Midland foodies with their impressive and delicious drink menu. Options include both signature and original cocktails, beers, wines, and spirits. A full bar allows the bartenders to create unique sips daily, as well as customer requests. 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. to midnight Thursday through Saturday. The Patio Venezia, 2101 West Wadley Avenue, Suite 20. The largest wine selection in West Texas can be found right over in the Plaza Oaks Shopping Center, With more than 500 labels, everyone in your girl group should be satisfied. Margaritas, Manhattans, martinis, a mojito, ranch water, old fashioned, and more make up the cocktail and season cocktail menus. Beers include imported and domestic options such as Blue Moon, Peroni, Stella Artois, Guinness, Corona, and others. Of course, a full bar means every spirit imaginable and your choice of drink as well. 5 to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Sip House, 303 West Wall Street. With its Spring 2023 menu, Sip House adds 7 new cocktails to its already extensive menu, making the cozy bar the one of the most popular places for a GNO. The new menu includes The Blossom, Earl Fashioned, Nirvana, Mascalpino, The Crown, Bananas, and 2 to Mango. Other classic choices include a French 75, Cosmo, Ranch Water, the House Paloma, Brugeria, Espresso, and so much more. They also have 4 experiences, drinks served smoked in a glass dome. Martini, bourbon, and wine flights also make the bill, as well as shots, 13 wines and 19 beers, domestic, imported, and craft. 4 p.m. to midnight, Tuesday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 1 a.m. Saturday. City Councilor's in-law bids on laundry contract. City staff recommends rejecting all bids received for the dry cleaning and laundry service contract by Stuart Doreen. For the second time in 13 months, a family member of City Councilman Dan Corrales has bid on a City of Midland contract. On the agenda for Tuesday's meeting, there is a resolution rejecting all bids received for dry cleaning and laundry services for facilities, fire, garage, landfill, police, transportation, vehicle services, and water and waste departments. The city has issued a request for bids, and the lowest bid came from Snow White Cleaners, with Larry H. Carrasco providing the authorized signature. Carrasco is Corrales' father-in-law. The agenda packet includes conflict of interest reporting requirements and a conflict of interest questionnaire with Jesus D. Corrales listed. In May of 2022, the Midland City Council voted 5-1-1 to deny awarding a nearly $300,000 laundry contract to Pristine Organic Cleaners, owned by Michelle Corrales, Dan's wife. John Norman voted against denial, and Corrales abstained from voting. At the time, Dan Corrales said, "I don't want to pull the bid. If I pull it, I'm saying I did something wrong. I did nothing wrong." Snow White's bid was for $122,797. After consulting with the department managers associated with the departments and divisions listed in the first paragraph, staff is recommending rejecting all bids received for the dry cleaning and laundry service contract and instituting a pilot program for 1 year, offering a stipend to the city employees who require dry cleaning and laundry services, General Services Director Regina Stevenson wrote in a memorandum in the agenda packet. This stipend program will help pay for the dry cleaning and laundry costs of qualified employees. The stipend amount will be determined by the type of work the employee performs and the frequency that they need to have their uniforms cleaned. The frequency has been established by the study done from March 2022 to February 2023, Stevenson wrote. The memorandum also stated the cost of having some employees of those departments have their uniforms laundered or dry cleaned from March 2022 to February 2023 was $72,057. The stipend for 110 employees is estimated at approximately $129,000 annually, the memorandum stated. Councilman Corrales was provided the opportunity to comment Thursday. Sales tax collection continues strong pace for the city. by Stuart Doreen. The setting of a new city sales tax record is not a matter of if, but when. The Texas Comptroller reported this week that the city of Midland will pocket another $5.303 million, another record for that particular month, to increase the total for the fiscal year to $50,822,185. This means, with an entire quarter left in the fiscal year, the city will not only blow past the sales tax forecast for the year, $57 million, but the record, $60.3 million in 2019. Should the city finish with the exact same amount as in fiscal year 2022, that would add additional $16.42 million for a total of $67.24 million, which is nearly $7 million more than fiscal year 2019, when the current record was established, and more than $10 million over what the city budgeted for the current fiscal year. The city of Midland is 22.19% ahead of the pace set last year. Sales tax revenue is generated by sales tax income from 2 months prior to collection. June's collection is based on April sales. The city's fiscal year runs from October through the following September. Midland ISD admin hires include another Ector County ISD leader. Midland ISD Board approved more administrative hires this week at its special meeting, and again, the hiring included talent from Ector County ISD. The Board approved Andrea Messick as an Executive Director of Teaching and Learning. Ms. Messick currently serves as MISD's Director of Early Childhood, MISD reported. She has 13 years of experience as a teacher and school administrator. The board also approved Jessica Redman, the principal at Wilson and Young Middle School in Odessa, as the executive director of school leadership. Mrs. Redman joins MISD after spending 16 years at ECISD, where she was instrumental in improving test scores as principal at Wilson and Young Middle School, MISD reported. She has also served as an assistant principal, teacher, and counselor. Redman's hiring brings the number of current or former ECISD officials joining Superintendent Stephanie Howard in Midland to at least 10. We are working to retain and recruit a team of leaders in Midland ISD who want to be in Midland and West Texas, who understand the area and the customer service expected, who have proven track records in their areas of leadership, are willing to put in whatever amount of time is needed to move the district forward, and leaders who can lead at high levels and have a commitment to excellence, Howard previously wrote in an email to the Midland Reporter-Telegram. Howard, who herself had 2 stints at ECISD, has hired at least 9 others to help fill her cabinet. They include Robert Cedillo, Midland ISD's new deputy superintendent, Ashley Osborne, MISD's new associate superintendent for teaching and learning, Chad Croson, MISD's new general counsel, Fatima Munoz, MISD's new executive director of technology, comes from Crane ISD, but was at ECISD prior. Jesse Garcia, MISD's new executive director of talent acquisition and development. Brandon Reyes, Midland's new human capital management. Luis Melendez, MISD's new executive director of bilingual ESL. Courtney Smith, MISD's new chief of facilities and operations, and Linda Rhodes, MISD's new executive director of special services. County sets perimeters for Friday protest. Midland County protesters are permitted at the Midland County Courthouse flagpoles if protesters follow certain guidelines. By Ben Schaefer. Midland County said in a press release that protests are permitted at the Midland County Courthouse flagpoles if protesters follow certain guidelines. After becoming aware of protests scheduled for Friday at the Midland County Courthouse, Midland County said in a press release that it is crucial that all individuals have the opportunity to have their voices heard. The protests taking place have to do with the death of Joshua Rene Salcido, who was gunned down in Northeast Midland in 2021. A first Justice for Josh protest took place Monday night. The courthouse flagpoles, symbolizing the essence of justice and democracy, will serve as a designated place for peaceful protests. This initiative aims to provide a platform for citizens to express their concerns and foster public dialogue, Midland County said in a press release. While Midland County is allowing protests at the flagpoles located at the south side of the courthouse building, they have set guidelines that protesters must follow while demonstrating to ensure that daily activities and business at the courthouse can continue uninterrupted. Location. Protest will be held exclusively at the flagpoles situated on the south side of the courthouse building. This designated area offers a central and visible space for individuals to gather and express their views. Peaceful conduct. All protests must be conducted in a peaceful and respectful manner. Participants are expected to engage in civil discourse and respect the rights and safety of others. Amplification and megaphones. In order to maintain the proper functioning of courthouse operations, the use of amplification devices or megaphones during protest will not be permitted. This restriction is necessary to prevent disruptions to ongoing legal proceedings and other activities within the building. Time limit. To ensure the balance between the right to protest and the efficient operation of the courthouse, all protests must cease at 7 p.m. This time restriction allows for the orderly conclusion of activities and ensures necessary tranquility for the surrounding community. Gas prices. Midland-Odessa prices remain below average. By Ben Schaefer. Midland's gas price average remains 3 cents lower than the state average, AAA Texas reported Thursday. Midland saw no change in the gas prices this week, with an average per gallon at $3.08. That price is below the $3.11 average across the state and higher than the $3 average in Odessa. A few West Texas cities saw dramatic increases in gas prices this week, like Abilene and El Paso, where drivers experienced a 13 and 14 cent increase, respectively. Odessa also reported no change. Odessa is home to the third cheapest gas price average in Texas, tied with Victoria and Sherman-Denison. The cheapest price across the state was $2.97 in McAllen. Crude oil prices have been increasing with news of Saudi Arabia planning to reduce its oil output next month. On the other hand, there are still concerns about gas and oil demand in the face of a possible economic slowdown with inflation and higher interest rates on the minds of investors. Demand was at summer-like levels over the Memorial Day holiday weekend, which continues to support the outlook of strong demand for travel over the summer months, AAA reported. The only West Texas city posting a sub-$3 gas price average is San Angelo at $2.99, down 1 cent this week. Other averages include $3.05 in Lubbock, down 4 cents, $3.15 in Abilene, $3.18 in Amarillo, up 5 cents, and $3.47 in El Paso. The price of gas in Midland has decreased $1.42 in the last year. The state average has decreased $1.51. Texas has the third cheapest gas price average nationwide. Mississippi still has the cheapest gas prices in the country. Oil falls amid Iran-U.S. rumors. By Julia Fanzeres. Oil dropped on regional media reports that ignited speculation the U.S. and Iran are nearing a deal that would pave the way for more Iranian crude exports. U.S. officials denied this report. West Texas Intermediate fell as much as 4.8% before paring losses and settling near $71 a barrel. Regional media, including Israel's Haaretz, said Iran and the U.S. have made progress in talks over the Islamic Republic's nuclear program. State Department spokesman Vindat Patel said the report is false. Any reports of an interim deal are false. Iranian officials have declined to comment. The knee-jerk move lower was likely an overreaction, said Rebecca Babin, a senior energy trader at CIBC Private Wealth. However, the price action demonstrates just how quickly crude can turn lower while it struggles to move higher, even when there are positive developments, she added. Formerly OPEC's number two producer, Iran could restore about 1 million barrels of daily crude production within months of a deal, traders and analysts said last year, before talks broke down. It could be back to full capacity of about 3.7 million barrels a day by next year. Oil is down 10% this year as China's sluggish economy recovery, interest rate hikes from the Federal Reserve, and robust Russian crude flows weigh on prices. In an attempt to rally prices, Saudi Arabia's pledged to cut over 1 million barrels a day on top of cuts made by the cartel earlier this year. Obituaries and death notices. Earl Buford Moyse. Earl Buford Moyse, 87, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, June 6, 2023. Visitation will be at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home in Midland from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Friday, June 9, 2023. Graveside services will be at 3 p.m. Saturday, June 10, 2023, at Hale Center, Texas Cemetery. Earl was born on October 20, 1935, in Bethany, Oklahoma, to Edgar Allen Moyse and Lou Ada Jarvis. Earl is survived by his wife of 69 years, Juanel Moyse, his daughters, Delana, Ruthie, and Sheila, his sons, Dennis and Kevin, and two granddaughters and three grandsons. He's also survived by his sister, Edna Irene Mullins, eight great-grandchildren, one great-great-granddaughter, and many nieces and nephews. Earl is preceded in death by his grandson, Staff Sergeant Jason Allen Reeves, and son, Warren, and granddaughter, Mandy. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the USO. Patty Ruth Holcomb Montgomery. Patty Ruth Holcomb Montgomery died on June 5, 2023. She was born in 1984 to Nora Bradley and Walter Henry Holcomb in Ira Ann, Texas. Patty was preceded in death by her husband Dudley Montgomery, her parents Nora and Walter Holcomb, her sister Martha Holcomb Martin, and her brother Walter M. Holcomb. She is survived by her three daughters, Cecily Montgomery, Cynthia Montgomery, and Amy Miller, as well as one grandson. She is survived by her sisters, Florence Holcomb Cummings and Nora Holcomb Gray. The family asks that in lieu of flowers, contributions be made to the following charities: Blois, B-L-O-I-S, Camp Meeting Association, in care of Summer Webb, P.O. Box 34, Valentine, Texas, 79854. The Montgomery Endowed Scholarship at Baylor University, One Bear Place Unit, 97026, Waco, Texas, 79798. South Plains Food Bank, 5605 MLK Jr. Boulevard, Lubbock, Texas, 79404, or the church of your choice. Funeral services will be held at the Ford Chapel of First Baptist Church on Monday, June 12th at 1 p.m. In lieu of visitation, the family will be available in the foyer of Ford Chapel after the service. A reception in honor of Patty will be held at Pecos Valley Country Club on Tuesday, June 13th at 1 p.m. Additional information can be found at www.sandersfuneralhome.com. Roy Carter Williamson, Jr. Roy Carter Williamson, Jr., 90, of Midland, Texas, left this life on earth for his eternal home in heaven on June 6, 2023. Roy was born in Waco, Texas, on December 6, 1932, to the late Roy Carter Williamson, Sr. and Nina Sue Gill Williamson. Roy is survived by his loving wife, Karen Williamson, two daughters, Jana Williamson-Smith and Amy Williamson-Martinez. Roy and Karen have four grandchildren. A celebration of Roy's life will be held Saturday, June 10th at 10 a.m. in the Chapel of First Baptist of Midland, 2104 West Louisiana Avenue, Midland, Texas. A reception will follow in the Welcome Center. The service will be preceded by a visitation on Friday, June 9th, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Branch Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, 3800 North Big Spring Street, Midland. Memorial donations may be sent in Roy's name to First Baptist of Midland, the Petroleum Museum of Midland, 1500 Interstate 20 West, Midland, Texas, 79701, and the Life Center, 2101 West Wall Street, Midland, Texas, 79701. Wallace Van Gravett. Wallace Van Gravett died on June 6, 2023, one day after his 89th birthday. Wally was born on June 5, 1934, in Lubbock, Texas, the only child of Leslie Van and Denver Gravett. Wally was preceded in death by his parents. He is survived by his wife of 62 years, Jeannie, and his three children, Karen Higgins, Van Gravett, and Valerie Tinker. He is also survived by eight grandchildren, two great-grandchildren, and one special addition to the family. Visitation will be held on Friday, June 9th, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, located at 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas. A service in his memory will be held at the same location on Saturday, June 10th at 2 p.m. In lieu of flowers, please consider donating to Hospice of Midland, 911 West Texas Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701. Frazier Adamson. Frazier Adamson, 78, of Midland, passed away June 7, 2023. There will be a family celebration of life service at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Odessa American for June 9th, 2023. Inaugural STEM Summit provides experts resources by Odessa American, June 8, 2023. The Permian Strategic Partnership at the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation, or CRSF, will host an inaugural STEM Summit, a day of engaging professional development for educators, June 13th at the Salisbury Campus Center at Odessa College, 201 West University Boulevard. The STEM Summit will provide teachers from 22 counties in the Permian Basin with hands-on training and valuable networking opportunities. Teachers will also be eligible to earn continuing education credits. One of the teachers attending the summit will win a classroom makeover grand prize worth $10,000 for their school. By 2024, the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation will have installed 134 STEM centers in elementary schools across 22 counties in Texas and New Mexico. The Permian Basin STEM centers will impact students from pre-K through fifth grade, 65.5% of whom are living below the poverty level. The summit breakout sessions led by industry experts will focus on topics such as integrating STEM practices within state standards, using 3D printers in the classroom, and utilizing robotics and coding tools. The summit is a continuation of our STEM program. We know that providing these resources for educators will have a significant impact on the future of their students, said Steve Salem, CRSF President and CEO. With breakout sessions, an expert panel, and giveaway prizes, we hope teachers leave inspired and better prepared to integrate STEM into their lessons. Ector jury finds man guilty of Odessa murder by Kim Smith, June 8, 2023. After deliberating just under 3 hours, an Ector County jury convicted a Mississippi man of murder in the death of an Odessa woman who was shot while trying to de-escalate a fight between the defendant and another man. However, the jury found Shamar Harrington, 22, not guilty of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. The punishment phase of the trial is expected to begin 9 a.m. Friday in the 70th Ector County District Court. According to the testimony of several witnesses, Erica Pena, a 31-year-old single mother of four, was shot around 1:30 a.m. May 29, 2022, outside the Southwest Oak Apartments, where she and several friends and acquaintances lived and often gathered to listen to music, drink, and eat. Harrington testified Wednesday. LaPaul Skaggs erroneously believed he had been recording him on his phone, and in the minutes before the shooting, Skaggs had threatened him while brandishing a gun from a staircase landing in Building 5 of the apartment complex. Harrington told jurors Skaggs followed him into the parking lot, and Pena stood between the two of them to try to defuse the situation. The defendant testified he had his weapon pointed at the ground, but after Skaggs punched him in the face, he brought it up and fired it, thinking Skaggs was ready to shoot him. Skaggs and Pena were struck by the same bullet. Skaggs was struck in the arm. Pena was killed when the bullet traveled all the way through her torso, striking several organs before exiting. According to Texas law, someone can act in self-defense if they believe their actions are immediately necessary to prevent someone from using or attempting to use deadly force. In addition, the law states a reasonable person would have to behave in the same manner. During close arguments Thursday afternoon, defense attorney Philip Wildman took jurors to ask themselves if it was reasonable to think a man who had been waving a gun just a minute or two prior was getting ready to shoot them. It's easy to Monday morning quarterback and say he would have left the apartment complex, but life doesn't always work that way, Wildman said. Wildman told jurors the Odessa Police Department did a great job tracking Harrington down after the shooting, but they didn't investigate why the shooting happened. He reminded them prosecutors didn't put a single eyewitness on the stand, but he put four such witnesses on the stand in addition to his client. One of those witnesses, Jatarius Kelly, testified he didn't know Skaggs, didn't have a gun until he threw the punch, and the shooting took place just seconds later, Wildman said. Wildman also asked the jurors to consider whether it was reasonable for Harrington to leave the scene following the shooting, knowing the crowd was well acquainted with Skaggs and didn't know him. Assistant Ector County District Attorney Ricky Ernest told jurors at least one witness testified they heard Harrington yell out for Skaggs not to hit him. She said Harrington fired the shot because he was afraid of getting punched. "You don't get to bring a gun to a fistfight, folks," Ernest said. Assistant Ector County District Attorney Elizabeth Howard told the jurors the state can only bring witnesses to the stand if they know about them in the first place and if they can be found. Most of Wildman's witnesses didn't speak with the authorities, and one of them showed up on an officer's body cam video, but there was no way to identify him from that, she said. Howard also noted Wildman appeared to discredit his own witnesses during closing arguments, even describing one as a special kind of stupid. "I think the reason he backpedaled on his witnesses is maybe they didn't help as much as he thought they would," Howard said. Specifically, Howard noted none of Wildman's witnesses saw a gun in Skaggs' hands in the parking lot that morning. When Pena held the defendant back, he didn't have a gun in his hand. When Skaggs punched Harrington, he didn't have a gun, and when Skaggs fell to the ground after being shot, he didn't have a gun, Howard said. Wildman's own witnesses testified that after being shot, Skaggs ran to the apartment where he was staying, and yet police officers couldn't find a gun in the apartment. He bled all over, Howard said. Howard also cast doubt on Harrington's insistence he stayed at the complex after first upsetting Skaggs because he was trying to de-escalate the situation. Why would Montreal Jordan have to hold him back if he was de-escalating the situation, Howard said. Even if they believe Harrington shot Skaggs in self-defense, Howard said Harrington is still guilty under Texas law of murdering Pena. Howard told jurors at the beginning of the trial, Skaggs has been uncooperative with authorities. He is currently awaiting trial on a sexual assault of a child charge. He was arrested the night of the shooting and remains in custody at the Ector County Jail. Judge Den Whalen is presiding. YPO Planning Leadership Symposium by Odessa American, June 8, 2023. Young Professionals of Odessa is launching its inaugural Permian Basin Leadership Symposium August 25th at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center. Co-chair Kevin Dawson said it is a program of Young Professionals of Odessa. Plans are to start at 8 or 8:30 a.m. and it will run until 5 p.m. The objective is to have 200 attendees, and they expect people from Lubbock, Abilene, and San Angelo. We have two keynote speakers. We'll have a morning keynote by leadership author Bruce Waller, author of the book Life in the Leadership Lane, and then our lunch keynote is Gloria Salinas, who is the VP of Economic Development for Frisco EDC, formerly head of downtown Odessa, Dawson said. We invited her, one, because she's from the area. As a young professional, she was very instrumental in helping Frisco land some of their big, exciting new projects like the new amusement park that they are getting, Dawson said. There will be breakout sessions in the morning and afternoon. Currently, there is a call for speakers for those breakout sessions focusing on leadership development, community involvement, mental health, diversity, entrepreneurship, and quality of place. Dawson said, we'll have a selection of speakers, potentially even panels for that, and then a networking mixer to end the day. The target audience is going to be the young professional demographic, but is open to the public to attend. Our goal with doing this symposium will be an annual program, is to really inspire the young professional community in the Permian Basin to level up in terms of how we lead and get involved in our community. Our theme for our first year is Fuel Your Focus. Our hope is that attendees will be inspired to focus on their personal and professional development, their ability to get involved in the community, to say, hey, you know, we can be current leaders or future leaders to improve where we are and be the change that we hope to see, Dawson said. It's important to have this symposium to invest in themselves personally and invest in others professionally. It's always important to continue to evolve and learn for our organization and our goals. It really boils down to, in order for us to continue to move forward, we've got to continue to learn from others how to move forward, Dawson said. He said that means everybody, young and old. My own personal thought process is you're never too young and never too old to continue to work, Dawson said. He tells people a story of how he took his grandmother to college to learn social media. She is in her 90s now and constantly wanting to stay engaged in life. There's never a time where you should stop learning, Dawson said. A good friend of his told him that you need three people on your personal board, someone you're being mentored by, somebody who is a peer that you can share experiences with, and somebody that you're mentoring. It doesn't matter what ages people are or where they're at in their career. There's always an opportunity to learn from someone, to share with somebody, and teach somebody, Dawson said. Young Professionals of Abilene has been having a similar event for the last several years, and several YPO board members have gone to Abilene to observe. The last time, they were involved in some of the committees and even asked to be part of some of the breakout panels. We've learned a little bit from them on some of their best practices and what has helped them be successful, we wanted to do the same as an organization to say, okay, you know, we just celebrated 10 years of Young Professionals last year. And so as we kind of move into our new decade, it was time to start leveling up ourselves and saying, okay, we've invested in ourselves. How do we invest back into the community some more by preparing and equipping young professionals to be leaders? Dawson said, Odessa YPO has more than 160 members. We are going to be changing some things up in order to take us to the next level that hopefully will grow us the same way Abilene has. Abilene has 600 members, largely driven by corporate memberships, Dawson said. He added that they want to engage corporate partners to help them attract and retain young professionals who may view being in West Texas as a tour of duty and how to figure out how to get them to stay engaged. The best way to stay engaged is to build community, to build networks, and why not connect them with other young professionals who share some of the same goals and values and say, this is how we're going to go through this process, Dawson said. He added that he spends most of his time working with employers on attracting and retaining talent. It's always a struggle of how do we get people to stay here, especially when we're trying to bring them here or they're not from here, Dawson said. He knows people wish they were more things to do here. However, the area is growing and new things are coming in. But at the end of the day, when I talk to people who leave, their biggest thing that they miss is the people. So we're trying to build community because that's ultimately what gets people to go. I don't want to leave because I have such a strong community, Dawson said. Ultimately, I think for Odessa and West Texas as a whole to move forward, it does need to leverage a little bit of that young professional community, he said. Dawson said Odessa and Midland now have a lot of young professionals. According to the Census Bureau, the average age is 30.4 years old. We as young professionals see the direction that we want to move, so we're getting more involved in the community development process, whether that is getting involved in nonprofits or running for office. Ector County Judge Dustin Fawcett is a member of Young Professionals, Dawson said. YPO sees the success members have had, and they want to start leveraging their collective voices to move things forward. Right now, there is an early bird discount for YPO members and non-members until July 3rd. Those interested in presenting during the breakout sessions can go to any of YPO's social media platforms, visit the website, or email at ypodessa.tx@gmail.com. Basin Post 23 of Top 100 Oil Companies, Mewbourne, Endeavor, Lead Area List of Private Operators by Bob Campbell, June 9, 2023. The Permian Basin just put 23 private oil and natural gas companies in Enverus Intelligent Research's 100 top producing American companies, and the region has 10 in the top 50. With rankings based on 2022 work, the Calgary, Alberta, Canada analytics firm said its top 100 were from the lower 48 states and the Gulf of Mexico, which Permian Basin Petroleum Association Executive Vice President Stephen Robertson said was in the line with the area tradition of private companies playing a prominent role. The basin's highest ranking firm is Mewbourne Oil at number 3, with daily production of 340,058 barrels of oil and 815,246,000 cubic feet of gas. Mewbourne was running 21 drilling rigs and 3,004 wells on March 23rd this year, Enverus said. Oil and gas exploration companies have routinely been responsible for growth and planning in the Permian Basin, Robertson said. While that continues to be the case today, it all started with the efforts of operators like L.W. Sandusky and P.C. Coleman, who discovered the Westbrook Field with the commercially productive field in the Permian Basin in Mitchell County back in 1921, and Frank Pickrell, who helped spud the most famous well in Permian Basin, the Santa Rita No. 1, in 1923 in Reagan County. Mitchell County, whose county seat is Colorado City, is about 100 miles east-northeast of Odessa, and Reagan County, whose county seat is Big Lake, is about 90 miles southeast of here. Coming forward to the 21st century during the exponential growth we have experienced in the last decade and a half, where oil production has grown from less than 1 million barrels a day to over 5 million, independent privately held enterprises have continued the trend of being front and center, pushing innovation and production growth, Robertson said. Throughout the ups and downs of oil and gas operation in the basin, independent operators have often been the first to risk when or even before an upturn began and the last to leave during a downturn. While other regions began shale exploration by utilizing hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling to develop previously known but unrecoverable reserves, Robertson said, the revolution was cemented and ushered in an area of energy independence in the United States because of operations in the Permian Basin. With the basin now producing over 45% of the United States oil and nearly 20% of the country's natural gas, operations here, whether from publicly traded companies or independent operators, are of incredible importance for more than just the economic benefit of those companies, this region, or even the states of Texas and New Mexico, he said. Endeavor Energy ranked number 5 with 279,764 B/D of oil and 515,319 CF/D of gas, 3,481 wells and 14 rigs. Numbers 12 and 17 are CrownQuest operating and Tap Rock Resources with 149,185 and 111,992 B/D, 325,690 and 248,746 CF/D, 1,409 and 327 wells and 5 and 4 rigs, respectively. Number 22 and 35 are Birch operations and Surge operating with 100,872 and 73,981 B/D, 170,570 and 129,191 CF/D, 498 and 811 wells and 2 rigs each, respectively. Numbers 39 and 41 are BTA oil producers and Blackbeard operating with 71,807 and 65,608 B/D, 170,882 and 257,576 CF/D, 442 and 2,653 wells and 3 and 2 rigs, respectively. Numbers 43 and 47 are Lime Rock Resources and Fasken Oil and Ranch with 50,617 and 44,347 B/D, 118,426 and 92,152 CF/D, 1,308 and 1,270 wells and 2 rigs each, respectively. Others are Vencer Energy, number 54, Novo Oil and Gas, 56, Spur Energy Partners, 57, Sequitur Energy, 58, the GBK Corporation, 59, Hibernia Resources, 62, Summit Petroleum, 67, Advanced Energy Partners, 71, Franklin Mountain Energy, 73, Legacy Resources, 74, PRI Operating, 76, Discovery Natural Resources, 83, Henry Resources, 84, Zarvona Energy, 87, and Steward Energy, 90. Robertson said basin operations provide energy security for our nation and are a key to improving the environmental impact of energy generation while helping to lift millions around the world out of poverty. Estrich, Biden Finds His Footing by Susan Estrich, June 9, 2023. Oh, I know, he tripped. That's the irony. The week where he showed that he had found his footing going into the fall election, He tripped over a sandbag at a graduation ceremony, and that led the news. If a younger man trips, we laugh at him because he's a klutz. Chevy Chase does Gerald Ford, if you're old enough, old being the point. The reason Joe Biden made the news for his misstep and will continue to make the news if he trips is because he is old. The reason he should have made the news is because he managed to do something almost no one does in politics these days. He put together an honest-to-goodness bipartisan majority of legislators who quickly enacted a debt ceiling package that no one loved but was absolutely essential, and passed with 17 Republican votes in the Senate after passing with more than two-thirds of House Republicans supporting it. No, it wasn't perfect, but it wasn't nearly as draconian as what Republicans had initially proposed. Stand up for Joe, carefully, of course. There's really not much you can do when you're old to prove that you're not too old. Ronald Reagan did well by dismissing it with a joke, promising not to make an issue of his opponent's youth or inexperience. California's Alan Cranston, in his last Senate run, was literally filmed running in one famous television ad. More recently, Joe Biden himself had taken on the age issue by pointing out that he should be credited for having the wisdom that comes with age, and compared not with some mythic 50-year-old, but with the alternatives. Starting, of course, with the not-so-much-younger Republican frontrunner, you should be pleased, politically speaking, to see the pool of opponents growing on his side of the aisle. I say please because if you are in Donald Trump's position with a base that seems to grow more solid with each outrage, or perhaps they just grow louder and more energized, the more contestants in the field, the smaller the plurality you actually need to win. Trump doesn't need to grow his base, just hold on to as much of it as he can, and the more candidates who come in, the less he has to hold on to. It also affects the process. The bigger the cattle call, it's easier to skip it. And by cattle call, I mean the endless schedule of primary debates that can make candidates seem smaller than life and are invitations to memorable mistakes that live forever. In a 3- or 4-person race, a debate looks serious and skipping looks cowardly. Not so a 6- or 7- or 8-person cattle call, then skipping looks like a good judgment of a grown-up. Of course, Trump's lawyers were at the Justice Department last week to try to convince prosecutors not to indict their client for taking classified documents, even as further details emerged about the former president supposedly admitting on tape to doing just that. If it were anybody but Trump, it might spell trouble. But Trump, having seemingly weathered liability for sexual assault without losing his footing, just continues tripping along. Age has certainly not slowed him down, and somehow he manages to trip along without falling, at least so far. Needless to say, Biden is not the only one who needs to watch his step.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.